Let's move on through the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter only has 13 verses. We should get through that in short order. Let's see, where do we leave off reading? Okay, far away. Chapter 12, verse 1.
At that time, Michael, the mighty angelic prince, who stands guard over your nation, will stand up and fight for you in heaven against satanic forces. And there will be a time of anguish for the Jews greater than any previous suffering in Jewish history.
All right. What's the matter, son? Now, in chapter 12, verse 1, he talks about Israel or Jacob's trouble. And I want you to notice in verse 8 that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. There that is again. See that? 3.5. Now, in chapter 12, verse 11, he says it's 1,290 days. And then he talks about 1,335 days. Now, 1,290 days is approximately 3.5 years. Now, why the 1,335 days, I am not sure. It may refer to what happens at the end of that time as we move on in to the millennial kingdom, when God or Christ reestablishes his kingdom here on earth. And maybe the difference between the 1,290 and the 1,335 has to do with the resurrection that he refers to here in the passage that we just read. I'm not really sure. But the 1,290 is the 3.5 years. And blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 years. Maybe blessed because by then he's in the millennial kingdom. By then the kingdom is already established. But what transpires between the 1290 and the 1335, I do not know. So you have Israel's trouble, or Jacob's trouble, beginning, as it mentions here in 12:1, halfway through the last week, or the last set of sevens, 7 years. And this corresponds to the tribulation of Revelation chapter 6 through 19. Take a look at the premillennial view of Zechariah, Daniel, Matthew, and Revelation. Again, as we review, Daniel talks about the decree going forth, and at the end of the 69 weeks, the Messiah is cut off. And then in Daniel 9:27, he talks about the final week. And that's, if the weeks are years, then that is 7 years, and it's divided into two parts. And the Great Tribulation, the tribulation covers it all, but the Jacob's trouble begins in the middle of it. And that's the same period of time that's mentioned in Zechariah chapters 12 through 14 that we read before. And in the middle of, or at the end of that, is the Battle of Armageddon, and that ushers us into the Millennial Kingdom. Now, as we conclude on Daniel, I want you to notice once again that each of these five visions move from the present to the future. And a lot of it is repeating what was covered before. I want to remind you again that the Old Testament addresses history only as it relates to Israel. That's important to remember. And that the time gap that we've been facing here between the history that he's talking about in this section and the end times is the time of the Gentiles that Paul refers to in the book of Romans. When the fullness of the Gentiles has come, then he will restore Israel. And it's the restoration of Israel, not the time of the Gentiles, that occupies the thinking of the Old Testament prophets. So the purpose then of this 70th week is the tribulation, to bring judgment to the nations and purge Israel in preparation for the Millennial Kingdom. Now, Matthew 24, Jesus addresses the whole question of what these days are going to be like. So let's take a look at those. Now, Matthew 24 and 25 is one of the key passages on prophecy because Jesus gives very clear, concise, chronological order. And these are the events surrounding the tribulation. Now, one of the main purposes of the tribulation is to prepare Israel for the kingdom. And a large part of this study of Matthew 24 and 25 deals with the preparation of Israel. Israel being ready for the kingdom. So as we start, the disciples ask a couple of questions. When shall these things be and what are the signs? And Jesus talks about the signs of the end, which is the tribulation. Then he talks about the return of Christ. And then he talks about the judging of Israel and the judging of the nations. The judging of Israel is in the parables, and the judging of the nation is in prophecy. The theme is the need to be prepared. This is called the Olivet Discourse, because he's up on Mount of Olives. So, somebody read, where do we leave off again? Okay, chapter 24, verse 1. Okay, now Jesus here predicts the destruction of the temple. There's going to come a time when the temple and all of its splendor will be destroyed. Are we together? Okay, verse 3. All right, let's pause there for a moment. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Peggy. Here they ask the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives. He says, tell us about these things. When shall these things be, and what shall be the signs of the coming and the end of the world? Now, Jesus here does not talk about the destruction of the temple. Jesus talks about that over in Luke 21. So let's take a look, and let's leave Matthew 24 here, come back to it, but let's take a look at Luke 21. This is a parallel passage to this. Let's start reading with you again, and we'll start with Luke 21, verse 20. Joe? Okay, let's pause there. Now, verse 20, he says, Jerusalem will be compassed with the armies. And he says, it's going to be destroyed. Flee to the mountains. Woe to you who are with child. And in verse 24, he says, it's all going to take place. The nation's going to be led away. Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles. Now remember, this is all future for Jesus, huh? And he says, it'll continue until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that's the phrase that Paul uses in Romans chapter 11, all right? Until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And when the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, then God will come back and restore Israel. So Jesus predicts here the destruction of the temple that took place in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus. And he says here that the Jews will be taken into captivity and they will remain in captivity until the fullness of the Gentiles. Paul picks up that in Romans 11 and says, when the fullness of the Gentiles is taken place, then God will restore Israel. And it's that restoration of Israel that the prophets were talking about in Zechariah and Daniel, the passages that we were just reading. What are the end times going to be like prior to the time when God restores Israel? So, this, for example, was a subject of Zechariah 12, verses 1 through 10. And we were looking at that earlier today. Now, contrast Luke 21, verses 20 through 24, with Matthew 24, verse 21. For he says in verse 21, and we'll come back, we'll read it again, but I want you to notice here, he says, for then there shall be a great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Jesus here in Matthew 24 is talking about the great tribulation, this great Holocaust that ends the whole affair. All right? So, with that in mind, let's go back now and pick up where we left off.
There will be signs of the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish, perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea.
I'm sorry. I'm not where you are here now. Where were you reading? That's my fault. Forgive me. Let's go back to Matthew 24 and let's pick it up at verse 4.
Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you.
For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive you. But if your wars begin, you will not see the light of the sun. Please let go of the
light of the sun." Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine and earthquake.
Okay, now I want you to notice here, in verse 6, he's talking about the events coming before for his return. In other words, it's not yet my return, he said. All right, verse 8. All right, now, before we go any further here, now notice here, he says in verse 9, he says that you're going to be delivered up and hated of the nations. All right, verse 13. Okay, so one of the requirements before the coming of the return of the Lord is that the gospel is to be preached to all the kingdoms or nations of the world. 15.
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, or to be preached, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains.
Let him who is on the housetop not go down to his faith in his mountains.
And let him who is in the field not turn back to give his clothes.
And wail and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in their beds.
Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath.
For the trouble at that time will be far more terrible than any that has ever been. And the beginning of the world is very dark, nor will there ever be any like it again.
And unless those days have been cut short, no one would have been saved.
Okay, let's pause there for a moment. See, here he's talking about the days of the great tribulation. And in verse 15, he says that's when the abomination of desolation takes place. And this is when Israel is going to go through its great trouble. Now, verse 23. Okay, now here is the return of Christ. See, he's coming now in verse 27. And if you look at your chart, you see in 24:27 we have the return of Christ or the second advent. Now, he comes in the middle of the tribulation. And you remember back in Zechariah, and let's just take a look at that for a moment. If you can find Zechariah one more time. Now you remember in chapter 14, the nations are coming together against Jerusalem to battle, verse 2. Verse 3, then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of the battle. Verse 4, his feet shall stand in the day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and the west, and so forth. And then it talks about how he comes to Israel's rescue. Now that's what he's talking about here. In the middle of the tribulation, he returns. Verse 27 of Matthew 24. Now, verse 28.
Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather.
But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken.
Okay, now see, this is the beauty of this Olivet Discourse. Because he says, the great tribulation. Now he says in verse 29, he says, now immediately after the tribulation, notice what's going to happen. And so now he's talking about what's going to take place at the end of the tribulation. Verse 30.
Trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the sky to the other.
All right, let's pause there. And this is the regathering of the nations. Now, in Matthew 24, beginning here with verse 32, and going through 25, 30, and we're not going to read all of those, he goes into a series of parables, all dealing with Israel. And he talks about the parable of the fig tree. And then he talks about the parable of the 10 virgins with their lamps in chapter 25. And he talks about the parable of the faithful servants in chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. These three parables. And the theme is twofold. Watch and be ready. The theme to be ready is communicated in the servants. To watch is communicated with the fig tree and the 10 virgins. Watch and be faithful, be ready. Then in chapter 25, verse 31, he leaves the parables and he returns again to talk about what's going to happen when he comes back on the return of Christ. Now remember, he talked about the return of Christ, and he says, let me tell you a few stories about that to drive home a point. Now, in chapter 25, verse 31, he returns to this. And let's pick it up at verse 31 of 25.
But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne.
Okay, this is 25:32, Tom.
And all the nations shall be gathered before me, and I will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and place the sheep in my right hand and the goats on my left.
All right? Now, this is the judging of the nations. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a sheep divides the sheep from the goats. And he talks about this. And the reason why I wanted us to read it is I want us to compare it with Revelation chapter 20. So keep your finger right there in Matthew 25 and flip over to Revelation chapter 20. Because there are two judgments, and sometimes these are confused. The Revelation judgment is the judgment of the great white throne. The Matthew 25 judgment is the judgment of the Gentile nations. And I want you to notice the difference. In Matthew 25, verses 31 and 32, we see that there's no resurrection, there is only the gathering of the nations. But if you look over in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 and 13, you have the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the wicked. In Matthew, in verse 32, he says he will judge all the nations. You have the judging of the living. But in Revelation, you look over there and you see that you have, in verse 12, the judgment not of the living, but of the dead. Again, in Matthew, you know book is mentioned. In Revelation, the books are open. In Matthew, the righteous and the unrighteous are judged. When did we clothe you? Because you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. The righteous with the unrighteous are together in Matthew. In Revelation, it is only the unrighteous. In Matthew, the judgment takes place at the return of Christ. Christ comes, he says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and his holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne and judge the nations. But in Revelation 20, there is no return of Christ mentioned. It takes place at the end of the thousand-year reign. So these are two separate judgments. In review, therefore, Matthew 25 is the judgment of the nations prior to the millennium. Revelation 20 is the judgment of the great white throne of those that are eternally lost because of their failure to be protected by the blood of Christ. Now, I think we have time. I wanted to go back to chapter 24 for a moment. The parable of the fig tree. The certainty of his coming is contrasted here with the uncertainty of the time of his coming. I'm going to repeat that. The certainty of his coming is contrasted with the uncertainty of the time of his coming. We can know he's coming, but we cannot know when. Verse 36. Who will read that? Where do we leave off? Whoever we left off, let's take 36. Please, 24:36. I'm sorry, the parable of the fig tree, 24:36.
Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, my Father.
Okay, so we don't know the day or the hour. Somebody read now, the next person read verses 32 and 33.
From the fig tree, where it is pleasant, as soon as it's branch becometh tender, it puts forth its leaves,
All right? So we can know the season. Can't know the hour or the time, but we can know the season. He says, the parable of the fig tree gives you the season. He says, just like when the fig tree brings forth its first leaves, you know you're in the spring of the year. So also, when these things that I've been telling you about come about, you can know you're living in the days. And I guess one of the things that excites me about this study is that I look around and I see that we're living in the days. I can't tell you when it's going to be, but friend, we're living in the days. Now, verse 34. All right, now, I want us to stop for a moment and look at verse 34. He says, truly I tell you that this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. And that's caused a lot of people to wonder when he says this generation. And there's a certain amount of confusion as to what he means there. This generation. Now, if he meant the generation to which he was speaking, then it's obvious he missed. Because all these things didn't happen before. It seems to me that what he's talking about here in verse 34 is the generation that experiences these things. And what he's saying here is that this isn't something that will take place over a long period of time. That when it's set in motion, the generation that experiences will see it to its completion. The generation that is privy to all of this that I've been talking about, said Jesus, will not pass away until it's all been fulfilled. It won't take place over several centuries. It'll take place in a short period of time. Now, we won't read it, but verses 37 through 44 tells about Noah. And Noah is an illustration of sin and evil. Noah is not an illustration of sin and evil. Noah is an illustration of the need to be prepared. The reason he mentions Noah was, he said, Noah got ready. And just as Noah got ready, we had better get ready. Verse 42, somebody read that. See, and that's the thing he's teaching us here. Watch. Be ready. And so the good servant prepares for the return of his master. Now, there is a parallel between Matthew 24 and Revelation chapter 6. And I want you to look at that for a moment. And what I want us to do is to read right along. Well, let's see. Let's do it a different way. Let's see. Jim, why don't you take the verses in Matthew? And Todd, why don't you take the verses in Revelation? And let's take them and read those verses as they're written right there. All right? In Matthew 24, he talks about war in verses 6 and 7. Would you read those two verses?
You will hear war and rumors of war, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places.
Okay, Todd, in Revelation, notice what he says. All right? And then as you already read, but let's read it again, Jim. In verse 7, he talks about famine.
Nation will rise against nation. And kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places.
then Todd, notice what he says in 5 and 6.
When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come," and I saw and behold a black horse, and its rider had a balance in his hand, and and I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, but do not harm oil and wine."
Okay.
Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pain. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me.
When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come," and I saw, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him, and they were given power over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth.
Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his clothes. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never be equal again. Those days have not been cut short. No one will survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be short.
Okay, so this is the great martyrdom. And Todd, notice what it says in Revelation. Okay, that's the martyrdom. Now the falling, or the darkened and falling heavens.
Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and heavenly bodies will be shaken.
When he opened the sixth seal, I looked and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place.
And then finally, we won't read the Matthew account because that's the passage that we read before as we went through in the judging. And then, but notice what it says in Revelation. Okay, so it just seems to me that there is a parallel between the things that Jesus is talking about in Revelation chapter 6. And that bears true for what Jesus said in verse 21. He said, "These are the days of the great tribulation." And that is the subject of Revelation. And that's the next part that we'll be covering. And tomorrow we'll finish the book of Revelation and hopefully at that time be able to tie the whole thing together. Now, as we close off, can find my charts here. I want you to notice here that on this chart, I marked Revelation 6 through 19 as in the last half of the week, or the 3.5 years. But on this chart, I marked it for the whole time. And the reason I did that is that we do not know. I cannot figure it out. I just don't know whether or not the tribulation mentioned in Revelation 6 following takes place in the middle of the tribulation or whether it encompasses the whole tribulation. I just don't know. So when I grafted it both ways and let you take your choice on it. Now, my own personal feeling on it is that probably it's like this one right here, where Zechariah 12:14 and Revelation 6 through 19 takes place. It begins really halfway through the time of the tribulation, but I cannot be sure. At any rate, the great tribulation takes place for 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days. That is the great tribulation. But the whole thing encompasses 7 years. Now, any questions on this? Okay, first here. That's the last thing we'll be talking about tomorrow. So if I could hold off on that until then, I'd appreciate it. There's a question over here. All right. Yes. Antiochus Epiphanes, you mean? Yeah, it couldn't be Antiochus Epiphanes because Antiochus Epiphanes is dead already. The Holy of Holies. Yes. 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 And the sacrificial system would have to be in practice. Now, as best I can understand it, I think that takes place in that first 3.5 years. Yeah, and the restoration of the sacrificial system. No, it takes place at the end, in the middle of the Battle of Armageddon, when the nations have gathered against Israel. And they're desecrating the temple and they're destroying the city. And then he comes to the Mount of Olives. Yes?
What happens in the middle of the 7 years to make a break? There's always a break. What is that?
Yeah. The umbrella that protected Israel is removed. And then. Yeah. I think so. See, now that's the part. When I say halfway through the tribute, don't know. Yeah. Well, the only reason it's drawn there is because he talks in Daniel about time, times, and half a time, 1,290 days. Revelation, as we're going to see tomorrow, picks up that same theme and then uses also the phrase 42 months. So, evidently, if it begins right here, then by the time it gets here, it's really picked up ahead of steam. Or the whole thing cuts loose at the middle point. And we just don't know for sure. Yes. Yeah.
At the end of the 3.5, he just shut it off, broke all of his treaties, and got after it.
Yes. And that comes into the book of Revelation, as it talks about that. But that is correct.
You said the umbrella that was over the believers?
Over Israel.
Over Israel?
Yeah.
Don't
know if it's the first 3.5. It may take place just prior to that. I wouldn't want to be dogmatic on that. But before the thing really cuts loose, Israel has a time of real peace and protection and where her interests are looked after. By the Antichrist. Well, that again, that's in Revelation. And we'll look at that a little more carefully tomorrow, Todd. You do not get a full picture, period. There are always going to be pieces of the puzzle missing. But in order to get any kind of a picture at all, you need to take all of these sections and start putting them together. But if I took and began to paint you a chronological order, then you'd say, well, I wonder whether Zechariah really talks about that. I wonder if that's really what was the theme of Zechariah, or whether that was really what Daniel was trying to communicate. So what I tried to do was take it book by book with you and go through it. And then hopefully, as we get into the book of Revelation, which is the last book we study together, the whole thing will begin to come together. Hopefully, as we finished Matthew 24 and 25, even now it's beginning to pop into focus a little bit. Because you see, Jesus refers back to these Old Testament prophets, and he begins to put the pieces for us into place. At least that's what I'm hoping for anyway. Yes. The only reason I mentioned the two different judgments is that some people say that the judgment of Matthew 25 is the same as the judgment of Revelation 20. And if you conclude that, then it throws the whole order of events cattywampus. And so I made that comparison to show you that those were two different judgments, not the same. The judgment of the nations when Christ comes again. Believers and unbelievers. That would include Russia, China, the United States, Britain. I don't know exactly the logistics of how he's going to handle it, but yeah, we're all going to be judged. No, the people that have died who are believers have been raptured. We've got to figure out when that is. But these are the people that are... Yeah, but these are the people that are living. See, he says he gathers the nations together that are living. See, let's take a look just very briefly for a moment at Zechariah one more time, all right? All right, now Zechariah 14, are we together? Let's take a look at it one more time. Verse 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle and to take the city. All right? The Lord will go forth in verse 3 and fight against these nations. He puts his feet on the Mount of Olives and so forth. And he comes and he, on behalf of Jerusalem or on behalf of Israel, and this is the Battle of Armageddon, and he protects his people. Then, in verse 9, it says, "The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one." Verse 11, "And men shall dwell in Jerusalem. There'll be no more destruction. Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited," and so forth. Verse 16, "And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all of the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, he will not give him rain." Now, it's during this period that Matthew 25 takes place where he judges the nations. It's when he comes, saves Israel from the Battle of Armageddon, judges the nations, and sets up his reign on earth. Verse 9, "And the nations come to Jerusalem." Jerusalem is the center of the earth.
Thank you for allowing us the privilege of ministering to you by way of this cassette. You can multiply this ministry by sharing this cassette with someone else.